Hi, it's Haley from the newest Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men in Oak Creek. Come see me today. Haircuts are just $20. Lady Jane's, Oak Creek on Howell Ave, just south of Puth Road. Walk in anytime, 7 days a week, even Sundays. Lady Jane's, it's wicked awesome.
For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust. For your sports talk fix every day from 4 to 6, it's Scalzo and Brust.
Live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue.
It's a party, baby.
This is Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
It's a party, baby.
On 94.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It's a party, baby. Woo! It's a party, baby.
By Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. He is Benny Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. You, the Scalzo Brust family, calling, texting. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Twitter, at Scalzo and Brust. And we are back at it with our guy, big time Billy Barnwell.
I thought you were going to say Alex Strofe. I thought
wrong. We had Strofe today?
Yeah.
It's looking good looking. So how are we, pals?
To what do we owe this honor?
Yeah, what did Jesse Nelson do?
Nah, I've been out sick all week, so I think I needed to clock a couple more hours today, I guess.
Real sick or too many Michelob Ultra sick?
Nah, it was real sick, and I'm sick of this narrative, Greg, because you're like the eighth person to make that joke today. I've come into work every time I've ever been hungover in my tenure here.
No, but it's not about coming to work hungover. Like, Josh, you've done this.
Oh, yeah.
It's what type of quality work you do when hungover. And I feel okay saying it. There was one day that stands out in particular where Josh was dead weight at work.
Yeah.
It's possible, Strofe.
I mean, we did a virtual call with Josh where he was horizontal on the couch with the lights off.
Yes.
Camera off.
I respect that.
Camera off, in my undies, still in bed. Just trying to make it through.
Never thought I'd say this, but it's an amazing visual.
Wait, you're doing a work call in your undies?
Yeah. I mean, well, I didn't know the call was happening until about 2 minutes before, so you just got to do what you can.
Strofe, when I'm in the...
Give me 5 minutes to put on some shorts.
When I'm in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison Studios and I overhear you telling the crew, yeah, I was up until about 2 a.m. last night sucking down some Bud Light Limes, hanging out on the patio.
The real story.
I know. Then I think that when you call in sick sometimes, people's first inclination is, wonder how many limes he had last night.
Fair point, but that's not the case this time, unfortunately. I wish that was the case. It'd be less painful. It was bedridden for 3 days. It sucked.
It does suck.
Billy Barnwell put out his list, not of his power rankings. We haven't gotten the first Bill Barnwell power rankings yet, right? This is the guy who's picked against Aaron Rodgers for three straight years, who basically during the two Aaron Rodgers MVP seasons.
Four straight years.
During the two Aaron Rodgers MVP seasons, had them winning like eight games.
He had him like 17th to 20th. Even after the 2020 season,
even after the 21 season, he basically just said, "Yeah, keep being wrong." At some point, this has to go.
He's hitting at a 25% clip. He hit it in 2022. The Packers didn't make the playoffs, and Billy Barnwell finally was right.
So we talk about it every season because we always joke, thinking, "Wow, Barnwell really hates the Packers. What does he have against Green Bay?"
Nothing about Green Bay.
All about. Formerly number 12, now number 8, Aaron Rodgers. Because in his ranking of best offseasons, this offseason, Bill Barnwell has the Green Bay Packers with the 5th best offseason in the entire NFL.
I take that as a statement of your fact of Bill Barnwell.
It's a great offseason.
He has them as a better offseason than divisional rival, the Chicago Bears, who ultimately turned the number one overall pick into a number of different assets as they continue to build. That's the one that surprised me, is the Bears with the 13th best offseason.
Like, yeah, and he also quotes the Packers as, they landed a haul for Aaron Rodgers. You know who landed a haul? The Bears for the number one pick with a player.
So for him, it's all about the trade for Aaron Rodgers and ultimately the deal that they got done with Jordan Love with the wording. He convinced Jordan Love's camp to take a $13.5 million guarantee for the 24th season in lieu of the Packers picking up a fifth-year option, which would have paid him $20.3 million. In all, the Packers saved about $10 million between 23 and 24 with the tactic. So, in Barnwell's mind, the offseason for this Packers team is fifth best in the NFL, and the Jets, who landed Aaron Rodgers, had the 23rd best offseason in the NFL because they gave up a lot to bring in a Hall of Fame quarterback.
So, I mean, Billy's man, woof. I love it. I love it. You know why? Because he does what I strive to do. He takes a stance. He hates Aaron Rodgers. No matter where Aaron Rodgers is, he's going to be low on Billy Barnwell's list. Now, the hypocrisy of this is when he writes about the Green Bay Packers offseason, he, quote, yes, Rodgers might be a superstar for the Jets and help them compete for a Super Bowl over the next two seasons. That's it. That's all. Greg, stop the quote right there. That's all you need to see to tell you why the Jets had a better offseason than the Packers. Because if you're talking about an offseason, we're not talking about, like, this is Bill Barnwell's teams in the next 5 years that set themselves up for success. This is the best offseason heading into the 2023 season. And so to me, if he's quoting himself saying that Rodgers helps make the Jets a Super Bowl contender in the next 2 years, it's by far a better offseason than the Packers. It's just about a better offseason than many because they're putting themselves in a conversation to win a Super Bowl. Doesn't mean the Packers had a bad one. I think it kind of does, actually. I'm not going to lie. It's hard for me to say the Packers had a good offseason when you move on from a Hall of Fame quarterback, and especially in the light in which it did over the last 2 years, when it seems like if they could have figured out that they had a poor relationship earlier, they would have moved on, gotten more pieces for Aaron Rodgers, even bigger than the haul that he quotes in this article.
Yeah, and I don't want to make this all about Billy Barnwell. I want to make this about the Packers offseason. Like, was this a good offseason for the Green Bay Packers? Now, mind you,
I just wanted to take out Bill for a little bit, but now I can move on.
Mind you, 14 months ago, the Packers had Aaron Rodgers, Davante Adams, and were coming off of back-to-back 13-win seasons in which they were the top seed in the NFC. 14 months later, they've got Jordan Love, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and they're coming off of an 8-win season. So to me, this offseason is critical, right? It's imperative for them to ultimately not continue to dig downwards and continue to bounce upwards. Put on the poll, Josh, on Twitter, at Scalzo and Bruss. You can call us, text us as well. We'll open up the phone lines, 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Was this a good offseason for the Green Bay Packers?
This is, like, the word good here. They did a lot of things, but can you say it was a good offseason until you find out what the pieces do? Because that's where my struggle is. It's hard for me to say they had a good offseason. Can I say that the Packers filled needs? Absolutely. They drafted tight ends. They added more wide receivers. The safety position is still a question mark. To me, it was an offseason in which they moved Aaron Rodgers. So despite adding tight ends and wide receivers and getting Jordan Love to the starting quarterback, I think David Bakhtiari said it. Jordan Love's following a Hall of Fame quarterback. And so if your offseason is moving on from Aaron Rodgers, who put 15 years into the organization and put you to levels that are hard to consistently reach year after year, it's hard for me to be like, yeah, they had a good offseason. Did they do what they needed to do based off where they were in the relationship with Gutten Rodgers? Probably. This thing wasn't repairable, but doesn't mean it was good.
Last year in Bill Barnwell's 2022 offseason rankings, do you want to guess where the Green Bay Packers were?
19.
9 after trading away Devontae Adams for Christian Watson, right? Or I guess you could call it Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt. They got a first round pick for him, first and a second. He ultimately complimented them for the Rodgers extension, said that the loss of Devontae would hurt, and the Packers ultimately were a top 10 offseason last year. Now, mind you, they went from a 13-win, number one overall seed to a eight-win missing the playoffs.
But number nine on Billy's list.
That was a really bad offseason last year for the Green Bay Packers. This, to me, is another really bad offseason for the Packers. They might have needed a bad offseason, but this is a bad offseason. If your goal is to win, and your goal is to win in the following season that you're doing that follows the offseason we're talking about, downgrading from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, even if Jordan Love ends up being better than Aaron Rodgers ever was, it's still a downgrade in 2023 to go from Rodgers to Love, and I'm a Love believer.
Got to qualify that.
It's still a downgrade. Didn't add any meaningful offensive weapons. You didn't add any meaningful defensive playmakers. You added a safety late in free agency that you're hoping is going to hit. That will be a contributor. You added your draft class, in which you're hoping Lucas Van Ness turns into a defensive difference maker, in that the tight end position is shored up. But you ended up losing Bubby Tonyan. You ended up losing Smitty. You ended up losing Mercedes Lewis. You ended up losing Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb. Now, you could make the argument there's additions by subtraction, but they've got 34 rookies. 34 rookies on the roster right now for the Green Bay Packers. There's a lot of way to go. I cannot comprehend how he's as a fifth best, but again, I want to get away from Billy. He keeps pulling me back in. To me, the Packers had a bad offseason, but they needed a bad offseason because when you turn the page from Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have a bad offseason. And they decided it was time, and that's fine, but they didn't do a whole lot that makes me feel like, wow, they're really putting Jordan Love in a position to succeed.
Yeah, you can have a bad offseason, and then you can have a good season, which doesn't mean you win a ton of games. A good season here could be seeing growth and development of, I don't want to say 34 rookies because I doubt they're all on the roster as we move towards the season.
I can guarantee you they won't be.
Yeah, but you get my point, is the growth of the young core of Watson, Dobbs, Jalen Reed, Musgrave, like Kraft, all those guys with Jordan Love, if they show that progress, if they are good, that is good enough to be a good season, where then they can build around them and work towards having a good offseason. But there's no way you can tell me that the Packers had a good offseason. Someone please tell me why the Packers had a good offseason.
Right now, the early results on the poll says 80% of the family members say that the Packers had a good offseason.
That's insane.
800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Justin from Milwaukee. If in any offseason where you trade your Hall of Fame quarterback, it's objectively not good. That's just fans being homers. If fans think that, it's okay to be a Packers fan and sports fan, people.
It's good to have a brain.
Tom in Milwaukee says, was a great offseason, got rid of a terrible contract while moving on from a 39-year-old quarterback and got a first and second pick. Jets can have their two-year window. We just had a 30-year window and hit twice. I feel like that's such a negative there.
That's such a short-sighted view.
You have a 30-year window, and you got two Super Bowls. Chris in Middleton says, classic Strofe with his two-day hangovers.
Yeah, he's at that age where he shouldn't have a two-day hangover. Those come in like four more years for him.
Really? Nah, they happen right now. They've always happened.
To me, there's a bell curve. Like I was not as good of a drinker as a person in my very early 20s as I was in my mid to late 20s. And I was probably better in my mid to late 20s into early 30s than I am now. To me, it's about lifestyle more than it is probably about anything else.
Yeah, I don't, like when we were in Madison, let's be honest, you and I sucked down a lot more ultras than we did living in Milwaukee.
I think that's a fair assessment. Dan, it's your boy again. Dan, do you think the Packers have had a good offseason? Welcome to Scalzo and Bros, presented by Michelob Ultra.
What do you think, Dan?
Considering the situation, I think they've had a pretty good offseason. But the bigger picture is, they never should have been in a situation to begin with, because this all goes back to trading up to get Jordan Love in the first round of 2020, so you get the extra fifth option, and then they don't give them the fifth option. The whole reason why you trade up into the first round is you get that fifth option, they would exercise that. They acted way too early on Jordan Love. It's not about Jordan Love. It's about the message sent to Aaron Rodgers, the way they treated Devontae Adams, and then MVS. He left along the way. It's about the whole message and stuff. This last year, considering the mess they're in, I think they've done okay. They're trying to obviously rebuild, create cap room for next year, and be good at 2025. They're sacrificing two seasons, and hopefully they get enough confidence to go along the way. They're young. They're trying to do it the right way. But they never should have been in this situation. It's really a shame. And they drafted Jordan Love too soon and just wasted the prime of Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and a lot of prime opportunity. They sent the message to the rest of the league. There's a reason why nobody wanted to come to Green Bay here, because everybody had a sneaking feeling. Does Rodgers really want to be here? And it's really sad that they put themselves in this situation.
Thank you, Dan.
No plane?
Appreciate it. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776.
I got to come clean. I was thrown off there. I had somebody call in who just did a quick impression of Dan to me and then hung up and darted off the phone. It threw me all off.
That's weak. Call back and do it on the
air. Do it on the air.
Dan in Sheboygan is a valuable member of the Scalzo and Russ family. We love you, Dan. Thank you for the call and your contributions to the show. Yeah, you could always rewrite history. I think it's like... To me, the fifth-year option stuff, the extension stuff, all that is just goes away depending on if Love is good or not. If Love is really good, he's going to get his money. If Love isn't good, then it doesn't really matter.
You got 13.5 guaranteed.
Yeah. 800-990-3776. If the Packers had a good offseason, again, 800-990-3776. Got to give a shout-out to my friends at American Family Insurance, amfam.com, to find your local American Family Insurance agent. I can hear you when you do that.
I've been whispering. That was
no,
was
that
my
was
best
not
whisper.
A whisper whatsoever.
It wasn't a whisper.
And don't, you're mocking Dan off the air the same way you just chastised somebody for doing it off the air.
Fifth year option.
Yeah, he can take it. Dan's a key member of the family.
He is. I think he might have sparked my fickle rant, to be honest.
Really?
Yes. Not
like
even joking.
Not the fickle rant, but the original.
Oh, excuse me. Like the Badgers.
You mean the
Illinois? The Illinois rant.
You mean the one that got the coach fired?
No. I have nothing to do with that.
I'll continue to tell the people about American Family Insurance, AmFam.com. As a first-time homeowner, I could not be more thankful that I worked with AmFam, not only from the digital home quoting tool that helped me build my own policy, gave me the confidence and control to select the insurance that made the most sense for me and my specific needs, but as I was going through that, like, I knew that I had somebody to ask questions to. I was able to email questions to my local agent, somebody I had a relationship with, somebody I knew, somebody I trusted. That entire team had my back from the start of getting my policy together all the way through submitting a claim, because when you're a homeowner, something inevitably is going to go wrong. And they were there for me every step of the way. It was such a pleasant experience, which is shocking because I've heard nothing but horror stories. But I had to call a nameless, faceless 800 number. I didn't have to sit on hold. No, I got to talk and work with my agent and her team. AmFam.com to find your local American Family Insurance agent. And remember, when you protect both your home and auto with American Family, you can save up to
28%.
Has it been a good offseason for the Packers? 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. We'll talk with you, the Scalzo and Brust family, next. Presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust. Presented by Michelob Ultra.
If he does get traded.
I really do wonder. No, I'm just... What?
It's a pregnant pause. It's very pregnant.
Holy smokes.
Guys.
That was 9 months.
I looked over to make sure you were still breathing.
Scalzo and Brust. Available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
A Grateful Dead Thursday here on Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra, Ben Brust, Greg Scalzo, Joshy DiMaggio, Alex Strofe, you, the Scalzo and Brust family, calling, texting 800-990-3776, 800-990-ESPN. Billy Barnwell of ESPN.com has the Packers with the fifth best offseason in the NFL for getting rid of Aaron Rodgers, getting what he terms as a haul in return. I mean, that's surprising to me.
Can I take out Bill one last time?
Sure.
You know how analysts and sometimes like Lewis Riddick, like some of these guys, like they get opportunities to become head coaches, or like Bill Barnwell with this article has lost himself any opportunity of becoming a general manager. It's that bad.
I don't think he was ever in the mix on that.
Just wanted to be clear.
Fair. That is fair. We don't really care exactly what Bill Barnwell says. Josh is working on him. We'll try to get him on the show here. But what we want to know is what you think. What does the Scalzo and Bruss family think? Was this a good offseason for the Green Bay Packers? You end up losing a number of veterans across the board, particularly on offense. When you look at the tight end position, the wide receiver position, they were weak as it already was, replaced with some rookie talent. And ultimately, this Packers team did very little in free agency. Brought in Owens as a safety. Not much beyond that. It's really been through the draft in addition by subtraction, if that's what you believe in. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776. Has it been a good offseason?
What also is interesting to me is to put this as a good offseason. When you look at the positions, right? The positions they invested in wide receiver and tight end. Dobbs and Watson into year two. Obviously, Jalen Reed, Tucker Kraft from the tight end position, Lucas Musgrave, who it's t-shirt and shorts time, Greg. He's looking good, Musgrave. Everyone's raving about the t-shirt and shorts.
I like Musgrave. I
do too. I'm just saying we're getting really excited about t-shirts and shorts.
He's a t-shirts and short guy.
Strong,
like
fast.
Like Van Ness both are. Like, they look the part. They're athletic and...
they're going to catch your eye on video and t-shirts and shorts, and I totally get that. But if Jordan Love doesn't show that he's the quarterback, everyone immediately goes to, all right, well, that, the Packers are going to have a bad season. They'll be able to use their pick that's higher in the draft, plus hopefully the Jets pick if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps, and draft a quarterback. And so say you do that. Then you're on a new process of getting a new quarterback up to speed with a bunch of young guys again. Like, to me, it's so backwards that in 2019, 2020, that's when the Packers weren't drafting wide receivers in the higher part, or even, like, I mean, I know they took a shot at Jay Sternberger, Josiah DeGuara, but that was third round. Like, you can tell even with Musgrave, right, he's got those, like, the physique, he looks the part, fits the part. Whereas, like, if they did that when Rodgers was going to be there for the next 2 to 3 years, you could maybe convince him to be around a little bit more and develop them more versus way late on where it's like, all right, now Rodgers is gone. You're doing this for Love. The timing of it's messed up. The wide receivers could have been in position to thrive in year three like they have with Rodgers in the past in 19 and 20 when you drafted him. Now you're starting to draft all these guys when you don't know what you have in quarterback. It's just kind of an odd philosophy from that standpoint.
Yeah, I think team building in general, and it's tough when your primary focus is singularly through the draft, right? I shouldn't say your primary focus. When you build your team through the draft with very minimal free agent and zero trade activity, you're not as proactive in team building, right? Because I could see it in the 22 draft, right? They took a bunch of wide receivers. In the 21 draft, you really did it. So that could be because the right guys didn't fall to them. They didn't have high grades on the guys there, like, which makes sense. But then you have to find other avenues to bring in wide receivers who are going to be in their prime during that time. And that's something that Goody in this front office has been very reticent to do. Because you lost Devontae.
And when you lost Devontae, look what you've rolled out last year, and that's where they think...
Well, not only losing Devontae, I think also putting all of your eggs in the Amari Rodgers basket. Like, this Packers front office is bad at giving up on guys that they know aren't going to work out. And Amari Rodgers is case number one. He's example number one, where he's supposed to be the guy that filled that Randall Cobb slot role.
And it's because they don't invest in much in free agency that they probably have a hard time letting go of guys that they believe or want to fill that void.
Yeah, and I think it also has to do with some of the disconnection between coach and GM. So yeah, I think overall, the team here is going to be so dependent on where Dobbs and
there is a TikTok dance going on right now outside our studio.
You should go out and be in it.
I don't think
jump
they
in
would,
there.
If they well, they just stopped. If they go out and do it again, I'm going to ask to join.
go out there and ask him to join right now. Okay. Figure out what the TikTok is. We'll share it on Scalzo and Bros.
Do you think, is Ben going to get bullied?
Ben's not going to get bullied. Why do you think he's going to get bullied? Benny's going to go out there. Josh will try to move the camera if he can in order to try to catch it. And there are three young women out there in the Third Street Market Hall outside of the Gruber offices. One called That's All Studios doing TikTok dances, in which I believe they put Bailey's laughing at me because I sound old and out of touch right now, where they put their phone up and are doing dances in general. Ben is right now demonstratively asking to be a part of the TikTok dance here. And let's see if it works or not. He's pointing at me. Hi, we're waving at them. All right, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's in. We'll see if Josh can capture any of it.
It is currently on the stream, Ben, with all the people doing TikToks.
Based on Ben's effort yesterday on the Chris Collinsworth slide, which was on Twitter, at Scalzo and Brost, I don't know if he's cut out to be like, hey, I'm going to do some social dancing. I'm going to do the trend dancing.
No, not at all. I think he's going to give it his best right now. The fact he's getting, I'm surprised they're not bullying him and just telling him to take a hike. Are they trying to make him do a solo video?
I hope so.
I'd pay money for, oh, wait, this is it.
He's doing it. He's doing it. He looks so awkward right now and uncomfortable.
To explain it for the radio listeners, it appears as if he's doing the chicken dance. That's the best way to describe what's happening.
It almost looked like, what was that song recently? Like the two-step? You know what I mean? Like, it's like two-step. Is that it? And it's kind of like a country twang song?
Oh, I don't know about that.
No?
Greg, you're doing a terrible job of explaining what's kind of song. Ben's giving us a thumbs up from outside.
All right. Well, we'll see what happened outside when Ben Brust comes back here into the studio. Scalzo and Brust is sponsored, presented, I should say, by Michelob Ultra. There's a common misbelief that to make it further, you need to push yourself, that you need to give up any joy to continue with your rigid routine. Or you can try another way. Take some time to enjoy life, like having a Michelob Ultra with friends, because happiness is essential to living an exceptional life. Michelob Ultra, a refreshing and balanced flavor with only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. I don't understand how calories work, Josh. Fundamentally.
In terms of what?
In terms of, I snack a lot and eat very unhealthy.
Uh-huh.
Yes. I eat a lot of candy.
Yep.
The amount of calories in like one small dark chocolate caramel that I eat is like 1.5 times a full Michelob Ultra.
It's
so much more. I'll have like two tiny Kit Kat bars, and it's like I had 320 calories. Yeah, it makes no sense to me.
I mean, there's foods that are considered calorie dense and calorie like insufficient. So sugar being one of those where you can pack a lot of calories into a small amount.
Bad deal for your guy. I'm going to go get Ben. He's locked out of the studios. Should I make him wait a little bit longer?
I think you can go get them.
1-0 next. Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
The spoiled rotten brat.
Well, I already made that point. You don't think you need to double down on it.
Scalzo and Brust, available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
On a Grateful Dead Thursday, presented by Michelob Ultra. Has it been a good offseason for the Packers? On Twitter, at Scalzo and Brust, that is where you can vote.
You just feeling the tunes for a sec?
Listen to the music for a minute. You know, it's nice to get on a nice Thursday afternoon, a lot of sun. Benny, you've been watering the grass.
I was thinking I need to do that.
Dry?
I was at the Princeton Club this morning, and my trainer lives out in Waukesha, and I found out there were storms in that area.
Oh.
So they don't have to worry about the watering of the grass, and I got to worry about the watering of the grass. It's starting to get a little brown. Not brown. You know what I mean? Starting to worry.
Josh, let's do some honors heroes. It's like Steve Carell in 40-Year-Old
That's
Virgin.
The question you have to ask yourself. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a one or a zero.
He is Ben Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. We're your contestants for one or zero. Josh DiMaggio is your host. He asks us a question. We say one for yes, zero for no. There is no gray area. Josh, take it away.
Some Taylor Swift fans have decided to wear adult diapers to her concert so they don't have to leave their seats to use the bathroom and risk missing any of the concert songs. One or zero. You would wear a diaper not to miss a song for your favorite artist.
Zero. I wouldn't wear a diaper not like that to me. There's nothing so valuable to me that
that's
I couldn't
soiling
excuse
yourself?
My yes, that soiling it's myself is like I can't even imagine doing that for anything.
Yeah, like I'm totally cool with like it in the right situation, but this isn't it.
What situation are you cool with it?
I don't know, like, there's been times where I've been driving home, and I'm like, I'm not going to make it. And I'm prepared to just, like, poop my pants.
Wait, you're talking number two?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would do...
I was talking about number one. Like, I wouldn't even... Number two doesn't even, like...
It's non-negotiable.
It's not even in the conversation. I was saying number one. Like, I wouldn't even wet myself.
But, like, you may not get... And I'm not saying I would do this at a Taylor Swift concert. I haven't figured out what I would do it for. But if there was something that I couldn't miss...
What, though, couldn't you miss?
Haven't figured it out yet, but I'm just not ruling out the idea of wearing a diaper if I couldn't miss something.
Okay.
Weird spot to draw the line of, like, I'll poop my pants for something. I don't know what it is, though.
You just said you would poop your pants as to not have to stop while you were driving home.
Well, that's because of tummy issues.
I know, but my point is like you could just stop at a gas station or a convenience store or a quick serve restaurant or anywhere.
I made it. I've not fully pooped my pants.
But why is your first
fully?
Instinct?
When you- I mean, you know, I've like, you know, had some fart issues.
How is it even though like the first thought is like, you know what? I might just have to do this as opposed to like, let me get off this exit.
Yeah, that I don't have an answer to, other than, like, it probably was, yeah, no, you're right. I got a messed up brain.
Because even the time it would take you to, like, clean and, like, get new pants and all the things you have to
do. Pants out.
That's what I'm saying. You're like, oh, I want to save a few minutes and get home. But then at some point you have to go out and buy new pants.
I always make it home, though.
The car cleaning?
All of it.
Why would it get in the car?
I don't even want
to. We don't have to. Yeah. Fox 26 in Houston ran a story about how some men use maxi pads to deal with what they call gooch grease. One or zero. Gooch grease is a real problem.
It's a massive problem. One.
What?
Yes. Absolutely.
What do we? These are vile today, Josh.
Yeah. What's wrong with you, Josh?
You don't get a hey, Mr. Poopy Pants. Keep it to yourself.
No, I mean, look. This is another me issue. I don't wear underwear, so like that gooch area, if it, you know, gets a little hot, it might lead to some swamp butt.
Yeah, I think that's fair, but like that's what baby powder's for. You don't need a maxi pad.
I also don't think it's grease.
In a hot summer day, if I'm walking around, yeah, like Gold Bond or baby powder, yeah.
Is that normal?
Yeah, it's pretty common.
I gotta add that to the
Why
regiment.
Do you think there's Gold Bond and baby powder in every locker, men's locker room in America?
I've never known.
At the country club, at the, you know, the Princeton club, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure all of them.
Does Aquaphor mix well with baby powder?
I don't know. I haven't tried it.
No, good to know.
Maybe that's why you got so much grease going on down there.
I need to invest in some baby powder and some Gold Bond.
No, but I'm saying maybe the Aquaphor.
Oh, no, it adds to it, for sure.
I feel so gross right now. Josh, help me.
Last night, Aaron Rodgers shared pictures on Instagram with former Packer and current Jet Tim Boyle, along with tight end CJ Uzama and the team's third string quarterback as well, on Broadway at Wicked. One or zero. Musicals are overrated.
Zero. Musicals.
You didn't know who Lin-Manuel Miranda was.
Doesn't mean
yes,
that musicals
does.
Can't be.
What?
Look, all I was going to say is my brother was in musicals growing up. And I idolized my brother.
So, like, musicals have a good place in, you know, in my life.
It's okay for you to say, I love my brother, and I loved watching him in musicals, but he introduced me to musicals when I was young. When's the last musical you went to?
I've looked at going to musicals.
When's the last one that you went to?
I would like to go to a musical.
You are in control of your own time and your own resources.
But, like, why do I have to go to a musical? I like movies that are musicals.
You choose every weekend night that you play Call of Duty.
High School Musical 3.
The Call of Duty to you is
The Greatest Showman.
If you liked musicals, there are constantly musicals within driving distance to you.
I was going to go to Hairspray in Milwaukee here, and I missed that.
You've been in Madison and Milwaukee, well, Hamilton, well, Lion King, well, all the most popular musicals that are touring have been in your cities since as long as I've known you, and you haven't seen a musical. My guess is you actually have never seen a musical live since you saw your brother in one.
Hate how well you know me.
And you are saying you are a musical guy.
No, I can still say they're not overrated.
I'm saying they're not overrated, but that's also because I don't think they're rated very high. Like, I don't think that, like, people are like... Here's the thing, Josh. You lived in New York City. Broadway is a thing. Outside of that, there's not a big musical culture very many places. It's a very niche culture in other cities.
I just think Hamilton created such a phenomenon in the cultural world that musicals, like, rose above what they were prior. And people pretend like they actually like going.
Well, I think like Ben thinks it like makes him like sound special that he likes musicals, like cultured a little bit.
You don't have to rip on everything that I try and use to make myself feel good.
Now I feel bad.
I'm just kidding. It doesn't bother me.
Tonight
that much.
Is game one of the NBA Finals between the 8-seed Miami Heat and the West first seed Denver Nuggets. 1-0. You'd feel better about the Bucks loss to the Heat if they won the championship.
Are you setting me up here? I mean, like, this is an absolute zero. Like, absolute zero. They're playing with half their team, it feels like. And I know that's not true, but they're an 8-seed for a reason. And I know the Nuggets coach is saying all the right things. We can't treat them like an 8-seed. The Nuggets are 8.5-point favorites. Nothing's changed. The Heat are series underdogs again by... They're like plus 300 to win the series. I really hope they don't win just because they're an annoying story. They've crossed the annoying point for me.
Ben, you just asked me if I was setting you up and you offered up to the audience that you've considered pooping your pants and wearing diapers.
I think you set me up with that one too.
Zero, I wouldn't feel better about the Bucks loss to the Heat if they won the championship.
They have Giannis, Chris Middleton,
yeah,
Drew Holiday.
Like,
it's about your team. It's not about the opponent.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it just doesn't. Like, if you want to win the championship, you have to pretty much be able to beat every team, and they weren't able to beat the team. So who cares if there's one team better than you, five teams better than you, 12 teams better than you.
If we hear, like, oh, the Brewers lost to this team, and then they won the title, like, I hate that.
Breaking news, Sounder.
Uh-oh.
This is
I saw you had a text
news.
Message out. That's why I don't like this.
From the desk of the hall monitor, Jesse Nelson. Jesse Nelson and his wonderful wife, Becca, who had a romantic engagement outside of the Lincoln Monument.
Memorial.
Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. See me pause on that?
Oh, yeah.
Jesse Nelson says, We have season tickets at the Overture Center. Ben is welcome to join us in the private donor lounge anytime. You just got bodied by a real musical fan.
No.
You've always put yourself on the
musicals
same level.
Musicals are overrated. Never seeing a musical again if it means that that doofus is a private donor. I am not associating myself with him.
We do support and love all the fine people at the Overture.
Yes, we do. Just not Jesse Nelson.
Did you hear that Jesse Nelson's wife took like a 3-week vacation from him?
Wait, what?
Get him on the show. Get her on the
show.
She
did. She went on a road trip with two of her friends and has been gone for like 3 weeks.
How many Palermo's pizzas did he make?
I don't know, but if I've ever heard of a Jesse Nelson vacation, that's it right there.
Well, no.
How would you feel?
You mean a vacation away from Jesse Nelson.
Right.
The Jesse Nelson vacation is just not showing up to work.
How would you feel if your if your significant other just left for 3 weeks with limited contact and was just like, yep, see ya.
Especially in the newlywed phase.
Would she take the kid? Ben, tell us about Water Joe.
Oh, it's delicious. It is delicious because I like clean, fresh water with the caffeine that gives me the boost. There's no off taste with the caffeine is the best part. I mean, like, I got my water bottle. Pour some Water Joe in there. What, like, you can mix it like with everything. I put some ice in there, and it's just like drinking water out of your water bottle, or you can just drink it out of the bottle from Water Joe. Great label, great bottle, 85 milligrams of caffeine. You can get it at your local retailer. But I got that good energy. I know you feel it, Greg. I know you felt it. It's that Water Joe energy that I got going from today. It's been awesome to have Water Joe a part of my life because it gets me going every single day. Pick up Water Joe at your local retailer.
Ben has been feeling himself today to the point where I actually saw him fall to the ground in laughter at one point.
Yeah, it was a little over the top, but also not really.
Scalzo and Brust continues next, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to Scalzo and Brust, presented by Michelob Ultra.
I've established you as the roast beef guy as your go-to.
Hey, do you want a turkey or ham?
I want a roast beef.
I'm a turkey guy now.
Josh,
I can't be a roast beef
Josh,
guy.
I got a chance
People
to look
me
at...
Strofe beef for a year because of you guys. Strofe beef.
Scalzo and Brust. Available anywhere you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand.
Grateful Dead Thursday on Scalzo and Brust. Cam from the Heights chimes in and says, ASS, ass sweating syndrome.
Think it's normal.
Ben Brust expressed that he's got it pretty bad in terms of sweatiness down in that nether regions.
Not very sweaty as a person, just one area.
I believe you termed it, or somebody had termed it, gooch grease.
Which makes me uncomfortable to say.
Well, we're joined now by Casey and Waukesha. Welcome to Scalzo and Brust. We're presented by Michelob Ultra. Casey, you're a pharmacist, I hear, and you want to talk to Benny about some of the issues he's been dealing with.
Got a prescription?
Yeah, Benny. Benny, if you got some gooch grease, swamp butt, whatever you want to call it going on, and you're putting Aquaphor on, Aquaphor is an ointment which is going to hold moisture in, which means you're just doing double the damage down there, buddy. Well, you got to put that baby powder on.
Well, here, can I ask you this serious question? So I have to put the Aquaphor on because I have a sensitive area there. And so, like,
your
anus hole. And so I'll put some Aquaphor on there to make it feel better. Then can I put baby powder around there to make it also not sweat?
Yeah, do the Aquaphor around there, and then put baby powder around the rest.
Sounds great.
Localize the Aquaphor.
Localize the Aquaphor.
So is Ben
the oldest patient that you've heard that says that he uses Aquaphor in that area?
No, it is very common.
Okay.
Thank you.
And you are not alone with tummy issues.
Yeah, I think I'm a little too liberal with the. With the Aquaphor, though,
do you think his Aquaphor is causing his situation to be worse than, say, the average person's?
Well, if he's putting too much on it, it could be. You know, maybe he just goes with a little, you know, dab versus you know half a bottle. I don't know how much he's throwing on there.
Casey, do you think that his proclivity?
Why do you guys have so many damn follow ups for Casey?
Do you think his proclivity of using wipes, really, he exclusively uses wipes in order to wipe.
Very clean.
No toilet paper, but just wipes. Do you think that's contributing to some of the issues he's having around that area that is causing him to utilize Aquaphor?
Shouldn't be, as long as there's no alcohol in the wipes.
No.
So
no.
Just don't
Cottonelle flushables.
There shouldn't be if they're baby wipes, but he should be good there.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Casey. Appreciate all your help.
The official unofficial pharmacist of the Scalzo and Brust family.
If he wants to be, I don't know.
Call him the anus guy,
the gooch grease guy.
Localized
unofficial anus guy.
Localizing the Aquaphor is an all time line.
I felt like I was in class. Like he was like telling me how to like put something around my butt.
I don't even know if I'm prepared to go to Jonathan Brust right now.
Is he on the line?
He's on the line. This feels like it's a little too much, but I guess we could bring in, as J Love in the 414 says, I feel sorry for Sphincter Boy's girlfriend. This is your Sphincter Boy here, I believe.
That's me.
We welcome in a man who was 8 years older than a young Ben Brust, right?
Nine
years older than a young Ben Brust, and watched him develop a lot of these issues from making his babysitter put Aquaphor inside of his butt until he was in middle school, all the way through some of the oddities that we discussed today. Jonathan Brust, how did this all happen to Benny?
That was the worst, sitting on the phone listening to a pharmacist talk about my brother's anus.
You talk about having sex with your wife on the air. Like, don't.
How are we doing with that,
you
JB?
Want me to, why are you sending me text asking me to talk about how my wife's breast milk tastes?
Yo, you guys might need to take this to a different, like, this might be family therapy.
Okay. This is why I thought I could, like, he could ease into it, but in the Brust way, we just dive right on in. Josh Hart of the New York Knicks tweeted about, he was asking, have y'all ever tasted your significant other's breast milk? Asking for a friend. That went viral. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I know someone who has.
Yeah, 100%. Why wouldn't I?
Why?
I mean, my wife said, why not? Greg, you've never done the deed with your wife when your child was an infant, and you get a little aroused, and you want to go to the honeymakers. You want to go there, and then all of a sudden you're like, you might squeeze a little too hard, and something squirts out. You're like, all right, I kind of got to give it a little taste. It's a little warm, sweet. It's pretty nice, but, you know, a couple times, that's enough.
Is that the only time you've tasted it? Because I have a feeling that you've got more than you're giving us right now.
No. No, that's it.
One of his
I've only
kids
done it a
is
couple
on
of
one,
times.
He's on the
two
other.
Or three times.
And you've only done it while doing the deed.
Yes.
You freak.
Yeah, no. Hey, honey, I'm hungry. Can you milk me? No, my name's not Gaylord Falker.
I mean, Jonathan, hey, we're getting it in. Let me make sure that I taste some of your honey is also a little bit out there.
Dude, a couple of times. That's it. But it's sweet.
Hey, man, no, look.
I don't like the
I feel like you're
factor.
Defensive now.
We are.
Like, you
we're
like
anti-
what you like. Like, this is great. I'm sure there's a whole world for this.
So why don't you try it next time you get, you know.
Thank you for the call. We are an anti-kink shaming show.
I'm so uncomfortable.
Why are you uncomfortable, Josh?
Oh, Greg, that was so
That's Jonathan.
That everything that happened there was out of control. All the words he used, I hated them. I hate the way he said it. I don't like it at all.
You're such a big baby.
I'm sweaty.
Oh, that is something else.
Malafleur,
right there. Matty Mouse.
The rookies are looking good.
Yes, the rookies are looking good. We will hear what Matt LaFleur had to say. He had an interesting comment. He made the Packers local folks crack up with something that he said yesterday after practice. We'll listen to what Matt LaFleur had to say next. Back in 2 minutes, it's Scalzo and Brust, still recovering from, I think, what just happened, presented by Michelob Ultra.